Good morning, and welcome to church this morning. Excuse me. I thought my cold had been getting better, and now today it's come back with a bit of a vengeance, so I apologize. Good morning on this first Sunday of Lent. The Lenten season is a season to remember Christ's journey to the cross, and for us as worshipers to hold this journey within ourselves as we also journey through life. We here at Prairie Street are so glad that your journey has brought you here today to worship and walk with us this morning. To begin this first Sunday of Lent, we will be singing from the song folder in the back of your pew at number 968. Please stand either in body or spirit as you are able and sing with us. After he was baptized by John, Jesus went by himself into the desert where he was tempted. For 40 days in the desert, Jesus was tempted to become relevant, spectacular, powerful. Today we begin to journey with Jesus through the season of Lent, which brings us to face with some of our own weaknesses and temptations. Let us worship God and walk through the journey together, seeking the Spirit as our guide and companion along the way. As we continue in our worship this morning, please stand again in mind or in spirit or body, and sing in the song folder again, number 3.
Jesus calls us here to gather in song. 920 in the same book. 920. As we prepare for confession, we will sing this song a number of times, and I invite you to enter in and to see Jesus as we behold the Lamb of God. We will first hear the instruments play, and then we'll sing a number of times.
O church, hear this prayer of confession. God, you did not say that we would not be tempted. We would not be troubled. We would not become distressed. But you did say that we would not be overcome. Jesus, while full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness where he was tempted. Sheltering God, guiding God, as you are present with Jesus in his wilderness experience, so you are present here with us. You have urged us to trust you, saying, "Love me, call upon me, and I will answer you. I shall be with you in trouble, and I will honor you." But God, we have felt discouraged, and at times even abandoned, and betrayed by you, O God, when all manner of things have not gone well with us. Lord, have mercy. Instead of following where you lead, O God, at times we have followed a tempter who shows us a vision of the world that is a mere counterfeit of your desires for us. At times, O God, we are deceived and enticed by imitations of love, abundance, and joy. O God, when you have not answered in the ways or in the times that we desire, we have been tempted to lean on our own understanding and to not acknowledge you in all ways. We so often have sought to control our own lives and order our own steps that we forget to acknowledge your wisdom and the pushing of your guidance aside, and we push your guidance aside. Lord, have mercy. Help us to trust you to journey with us and to guide us. Help us to rest in your promise to never leave us or forsake us. Amen. Sisters and brothers, please stand to hear these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, God is at work within us and is walking with us. God is our clothing in which love enwraps us, holds us, and encloses us. Because of God's tender love, so that God may never leave us, we are protected safely in love, in woe as well, by the goodness of God. God urges us, keep the word near to you, even on your lips and in your heart. This word is your salvation. Amen. Now is a time where we express our joy to each other as we pass the peace of Christ to one another, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding,
Okay, we're still looking for the handheld mic, but if it is your birthday this month, this is a time, at the first Sunday of each month, we like to recognize people who have birthdays or anniversaries or something special. There we go, there it is. Excellent. If you want to come and gather here. It only took all three pastors to find the mic. We're doing good today. Goodness gracious. So are there any special anniversaries or birthdays or... Yes, Janice?
60. Yay!
I'll be half of that. Which I think is 30. I think it's 30.
Do you teach math? Yeah. Sisters and brothers, let's extend our hands. And, oh, someone else is pointing. Okay.
Man. We'll be 91 and 92.
91 and 92. Whoa. Anything special?
I'm a year behind him.
Oh, Mike says he'll be 90. No. No. 91.
No.
I'm
a year behind them. 89.
Oh, 89? Sisters and brothers, however old these people are, let's extend our hands in blessing. God, look at the beauty of the people you have gathered before you. Look at all these followers of Jesus. We are so grateful for them, for their presence here today and in our lives of faith and in our day-to-day lives. We give you thanks for the time that has led up to this day for them, and we ask your blessing on all of these people in the coming year. Be with them in times that are difficult. Lift them up. Help them celebrate when times are happy. We give you thanks, O God. Amen. Thank you. And the children now may begin to come forward for children's time.
I'm going to start because this is very appropriate. Good morning, friends. We'll take our offering in just a minute, but do you know what our pastors are setting up for us here today? We have to imagine, it's pretend. But we're in a series of the year called Lent. Can you say that word? Let's go ahead and pass the offering basket. If you don't have money to put in, God will receive your blessing if you touch the basket. Lent is a time when all of us, the whole church and the big church around the globe, turns toward Jesus. And the way we do that is we walk in Jesus' footsteps. We're going to do things and practice things that Jesus did. And so this helps us pretend, see the rocks and the burlap, very plain, right? It's not all pretty like it usually is for us when other people fix our altar here. It's because Jesus was told in the Bible right before our story this week that he was the Son of God. Can you say that? Jesus is the Son of God. And that was a big thing. And so what did Jesus do? He had to get away. He had to go to a quiet place that the Bible calls the wilderness, a place where he could really think and pray and say, God, what does it mean for me to be your son? And so we can do that too. Did you know that you can do that? You can go to a quiet place and spend a little bit of time thinking about what it means to be a... Are you a son of God? No. What are you? Are you a daughter of God? Are you a son of God? Yes. So you're a daughter of God or a son of God. So let's practice that. We're going to practice what Jesus did for 40 days, but we're only going to practice for a minute. So sit up straight, And I bet you do this at school. I know Michaela does. When it's time to sort of focus, we breathe in and then slowly breathe out. And then you can close your eyes, maybe hold your hands that says, God, I'm listening. Breathe in and out. God, I'm listening. Okay, thank you very much. So we're not done yet, though. Hold on. So what I want to ask you all to do for this season of Lent is to see if you can find a time every day where you can do that, where you can get away from all the screens that are in your lives. I know that we have too many of those. Where you can be quiet in a place like the wilderness and just breathe and close your eyes and say, God, I am your son, or I am your daughter. Fill me with your love. Because that's what Jesus did. So let's have that be our ending prayer. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for these children who are your beloved sons and daughters. Let them and each of us find time each day to be quiet and to know that you love us. Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he, to be tempted by the devil, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished.
Luego, Jesús fue llevado por el Espíritu al desierto para ser tentado por el diablo. Después de haber ayunado 40 días y 40 noches, tuvo hambre.
The tempter came and said to him, If you really are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
El tentador se le acercó y le dijo, Si tú eres hijo de Dios, di que estas piedras se conviertan en pan. Pero Jesús respondió, escrito está, no solo de pan vive el hombre, sino de toda palabra que sale de la boca de Dios.
Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to them, Again, it is written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test.
Entonces el diablo lo llevó a la santa ciudad, lo puso sobre la parte más alta del templo, y le dijo, Si tú eres hijo de Dios, lánzate hacia abajo, porque escrito está, a sus ángeles mandará alrededor de ti, y también en sus manos te sostendrán, para que no tropieces con piedra alguna. Y Jesús le dijo, también está escrito, no tentarás al Señor tu Dios.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, All of this I will give to you if you will just fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.
De nuevo el diablo lo llevó a un monte muy alto. Allí le mostró todos los reinos del mundo y sus riquezas. Y le dijo, Todo esto te daré si te arrodillas delante de mí y me adoras. Entonces Jesús le dijo, vete, Satanás, porque escrito está, al Señor tu Dios adorarás y a Él solo servirás.
Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
Entonces el diablo lo dejó, y unos ángeles vinieron y lo servían.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Amen. Pastor Francis is bringing our message this morning. God, thank you for your servant Francis, our wonderful pastor. Be with us this morning as she brings your word that has been given to her. Be with us as we hear this word. Help us to feel your presence here in this space and to hear the words that you have prepared. Amen.
Amen.
Then Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, led up by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Did Jesus have to wait for Satan to show up? Or was he waiting there? Did they sit side by side in silence? Or did the tempter arrive in a whirlwind, clad in linen and fine silk, obviously well fed, ready to extol the virtues of his path and his plan? This story is our doorway to the season of Lent. We come again and again to this story. We come again and again to Lent. Why do we come? What do we expect? Do we expect anything? We observe and practice the seasons of the church year because we believe that they shape us, that they form us. And we come again to this season wondering what is different this year. Is anything different? Have we become ragged and worn thin by following our call? Or is there some small, bright hope or light waiting to be born, and we need to pay attention like the children in a time of silence and listening and waiting? The test for Jesus was fidelity to God's mission. That's what it says in the Believer's Church Bible Commentary. Fidelity, faithfulness to God's mission in the world. Jesus must decide what it means for him to be the Son of God. Is Lent a time for us to test our fidelity to God's mission?
And is this story about Jesus in the wilderness in some way for our journey? How is it for me now, today? Each of us must ask, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Satan begins his work. If you are the Son of God, and I think we've heard a voice like that earlier in the salvation story, doesn't it sound a little bit like, did God really say, you shall not eat from any of the fruit in the garden? There's that silky, slithery tone, slyly suggesting a certain perspective, planting a false premise, tilting the facts a certain way. Words from the ancient lost garden, echoing another testing. And let us remember that that was a testing that ended in heartbreaking loss, pain, and expulsion from the garden. If you are the Son of God, suggests there might be some question, something that still needs to be proved and doubt that needs to be dispelled. So remember, we pick up this thread of the story right after the event that brought Jesus to the wilderness, the baptism by John in the Jordan River. And it's explained this way: when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. It is, you should know, a characteristic of evil, a characteristic of the voice of Satan, that it has no creativity. It has no capacity of its own. It has only the ability to twist and distort. There is no original work done by evil, only distortion of what is good. When the devil lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Lent. It's a time to correct the distortion swirling around us in our world, a time to unloosen tangling bonds, and a time to unveil lies and deception. It's a time to take the silence, to listen carefully to the voices we hear and pay attention to, and pray for freedom from false truth. Bread. Command these stones to become loaves of bread. Did Jesus need to be hungry? Was it required to accomplish this testing? Surely in his life before he had experienced hunger. Did Jesus need to be hungry in a new way? Choosing again to be ever more human. It's suggested in the story that Jesus is completely able to turn stones into bread. Satan seemed to know the powers Jesus had. We, of course, are not able to turn stones into bread. But I wonder if, like Jesus, we can choose to reach for the wrong kind of bread. Jesus undoubtedly in his life did eat and need loaves of bread. And interestingly enough, it seems like he did actually summon bread in an unexpected way when feeding the thousands. Interesting that Adam and Eve's testing in the garden involved fruit. Now bread, eating, so human, so essential. Satan says, make these stones into bread. And Jesus' answer is not by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God. So where do we find bread? Scripture seems to be part of the answer. Jesus again and again saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. So perhaps we ask, how are we feeding, truly feeding on the Word of God, every Word of God? Are we reading, studying, praying, meditating, maybe memorizing, maybe reading in community? Is Lent a time for each one of us to renew our practice of engaging the Scriptures to satisfy a deeper hunger? Or maybe this season is an invitation for you to choose a new practice for this season. Or maybe really begin a serious engagement with every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Satan then takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. And again, he tries the line. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Remember, no imagination, no creativity, same question. Are you really the beloved Son? Well then, God will rescue you. The devil was suggesting that Jesus could summon divine protection at his beck and call. Was it a trick to get Jesus to destroy himself? What if he really had thrown himself down? Whether or not he would have bodily hit the pavement, his faithfulness to God's mission, in God's timing and plan, would have been destroyed. Can we destroy or damage our own true mission and calling, looking for shortcuts or easy grace? What does it mean for me to test God? To demand that God do something, to force God's hand. I hope I'm not the only one who prays, oh Lord, please let that police car miss that illegal turn. Lord, help me find my car keys. We hear that a lot at our house. The small, desperate plea to catch a train or get somewhere on time. I actually don't think God is offended by these small, desperate pleas. We are small people in a big world. And I don't think God holds our smallness or limitations against us. But I do think there is danger in shaping our relationship with God to fit our agenda, to serve my purposes, employing God for my own end. I think this is different for each one of us. We are unique and creative enough to have our own weaknesses. I think for me, it might include asking God to cover for my inattention, the times that I don't listen carefully, the times I'm hurried or lazy, being impatient in relationships, not taking time, not giving time, giving in to all my inadequacy without doing the hard work of changing myself. Maybe getting by, not speaking truth when truth is called for. Convenient silence. Ignoring the prompting from the Spirit. Wanting to be important, look good. Wanting your sermon to be well received. Like Jesus, we each have a true calling. Lent is a time to ask, might I be missing my real mission? Some word from the Spirit. And instead be looking toward wanting God to fit my plans. Jesus had a mission. Not to be rescued by angels, but in fact to die. Jesus is not saved by God from death. He is crushed as surely as if he had jumped. And the voice comes a final time as Jesus hangs on the cross. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, I am God's Son. There is no real resurrection if there is no real death. And finally, the very high mountain. All the kingdoms of the world spread out before them. No clever question this time. No finesse or trickery, it's not working. Satan is frustrated now, running out of patience. This third time, it's simply worship me, just worship me. And Satan's agenda is laid bare. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." All the kingdoms belong to Jesus in the end. Every knee will bow. But what does Jesus do with kingdoms and kingship? He makes the kingdom of love and serving one another. Jesus talks about it this way. The glory that you, the Father, have given me, I have given them, he gives, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. I don't know about your journey in Lent, but I think I can say, whatever shape your mission takes, whatever your calling, it is to serve and to love. It is always to share God's goodness. It is to pray for the welfare of your city. The season of Lent is our own wilderness, our time to examine where we choose the wrong bread, the easy answer, looking out for myself first. The journey of Lent brings us back to the question of our own faithfulness this year, this season, but always with hope, knowing that we are the beloved children, the sons and daughters of God, knowing that Jesus has walked in the wilderness, gone there before us, and we do not face it alone. So, find the bread. Remember your calling and share goodness to all. At the end, angels came and ministered to Jesus. The messengers from God came to Jesus. What did they bring? Cold flasks of water, fresh figs, loaves of bread, potluck dishes, tender healing, bringing the real presence of the Father. Maybe a cup and bread, broken and blessed. The good news is that angels come to us too. Sometimes indeed, perhaps the ones with feathery wings, an unexpected word from the Spirit, the holy breath of the Spirit, with new insight and confidence and strength. More often, I think the ones without wings come, the ones that look a lot like us. They look a lot like you. The ones that come alongside with healing and help because they too know the wilderness and have found the bread of encouragement and the bread of compassion. They are the angels that speak truth instead of lies. Angels that know the ways of life in the wilderness and have learned how to thrive there. So today, we gather together on this first Sunday of Lent. We worship, we pray, and we sing in the wilderness. Come, thou fount of every blessing. We sing, asking for streams of mercy in the desert, in the wilderness, never failing. We sing, praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, this mount of God's unchanging love. Hither by thy help I've come, today, now, this season, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home, because Jesus sought me wandering in the wilderness. This Lent, let us proclaim, here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen.
We're going to sing this a little bit differently. The first verse, women will sing in unison, and they'll be upheld by the men who are singing a phrase of the song over and over in a drone. And then in the second verse, the men will sing in unison, and the women will uphold them with a constant repetitive phrase. And then in the third verse, we'll sing in parts all together. So first the men, here's your phrase, here's your note. Where's the E flat? So men over and over, and we'll just keep singing that note and this phrase over and over. Fount of blessing, fount of blessing, fount of blessing, fount of blessing. Keep that going. Blessing. Are you ready, women?
Fount of blessing, fount of blessing, fount of blessing.
Thank you. this is a time for us to share our joys and concerns, particularly items that are appropriate to bring to our pastoral prayer. So we ask that you say your name if you want to speak, and speak briefly so others can share. There are several ways that you can share your prayers, particularly petitions. In the narthex out beyond the auditorium is a prayer box. You can write prayers, or right after the service, there'll be pastors or elders right here under the banner. You can go and pray with them, receive prayer, and receive anointing if you wish. I thank you, Pastor Francis, for a sermon. I especially resonate with your call to be immersed daily in the scriptures. And I find over the years that I need a structure to do that. I need a plan. So I use simple prayer books that structure my prayer time and keep me kind of on schedule. And that prayer time can be very brief if I'm on a really full day. Sometimes it's just a few minutes. On my day off, it might be an hour or more. But I urge you to find some structure in your life, because feasting on the Word like that daily ties us into the long story of salvation history that goes way back to the Garden of Eden. And through these words of Scripture, the Spirit feeds us, feeds our souls. What do you have to share? I should say regarding the sermon that during second hour, there will be a sermon response discussion in the narthex, right off the back of the auditorium here, that Eleanor Kreider will lead. And you perhaps should have opportunity there to share a little bit or learn from each other how you get into the scriptures or other responses from the sermon. There will not be a class in the auditorium. Carol Hundrick texted this morning and said that she's relapsed with her cold and is not able to be here. So the class will be the sermon response.
This is Carolyn Smith, and I ask for prayer for Morris Smith, my father-in-law, who had a fall about a week and a half ago, did have a bleed in his brain, so he's lost function on his right side. He is in the hospital in Fort Wayne, where they sent him from Goshen ER. It's kind of a slow journey. We thought he would be returning to rehab, but then he had some intestinal problems. He has an NG tube, so he is very much parched right now. An ice chip would be a sweet treat for him. He's got a PICC line and is getting IV antibiotics through that. So we have also, the family has been driving Evelyn there every day, picking her up. So it's a long journey for the family.
God bless Morris and Evelyn.
This is Josh Kinder. Francis, your sermon had me thinking, which is good, about Lent as a time when we choose wilderness for ourselves, as Jesus chose wilderness. But your sermon had me thinking of a young man I know who's in a wilderness now that he didn't entirely choose. He's in prison awaiting a murder trial in May. He was a student of mine. And I was thinking of him, and then I started thinking of, well, there's millions, maybe billions of people on this earth who are experiencing desolation and wildernesses that they did not choose. So as we all choose our wilderness for this season, part of our walk in the wilderness, I think, could be considering what to do about all these other wildernesses that are forced upon people.
Marie Troyer. And one of the places that helps people in their wilderness is Mennonite Central Committee. And the women of this church are asking for your help in supporting them with hygiene kits. There are bags down in the hallway that you can take and fill with items. The list is on the bag. The other way you can help the women that meet on the first Thursday of the month is by buying a cookbook, a vintage cookbook. How many of you have recipes in that vintage cookbook? Not very many anymore. Joy found a box that evidently I had hidden sometime or put away. And so the service circle women would appreciate you buying a cookbook. It's just $5, and we will use it as a fundraiser for our general fund, which we support three places every month, and with a group of about 6 to 7 women, that's gets a little hard to do every month. Thank you.
Sounds a little like finding the book of the law in the temple.
Hi, my name is Scott Hamilton. A friend of mine just passed off Friday. I guess he laid around 8 to 10 days in his apartment on Marion Street, and nobody knew he passed away. I'm glad I didn't go, because it would have been pretty hard. But they found him, he tried to have the telephone opened up, and that was in his hand, but that was a hard thing to hear about. So pray for Ralph Van Eaton. Thank you.
Martin Navarro, I just want to request for you guys to pray for the churches in Brownsville, Texas. I spoke to the district minister for the Hispanic churches out there, and they are beginning a kind of a underground, in a way, housing for undocumented immigrants that are at risk of being deported. The reason why they're doing this is because they're kind of stuck in the area. They cannot migrate anywhere else because of checkpoints north of Brownsville and all around the highways in Texas. So keep them in your prayers. Thanks.
Mary Catherine Miller, a challenge of the VS unit this year is that there are 2 young men in the house, in a big house. And Jonathan, who works with Palestinian-Israeli issues, teaching and educating, is on the road a fair amount. And this month of March, he will be gone 3 different times. And this first time, he's leaving tomorrow, Monday, and will be returning the following Monday, the 13th, which leaves 1 young man in that large house. So it's a pretty lonely, kind of a quiet house for Kevin. So I ask for prayers for Jonathan as he's on the road, and Kevin as he's in the house. And also encourage action. If you can reach out to make a contact, I think that would be welcomed.
Gerald Schenk, thank you, Pastor Francis, for the sermon, the Lenten reflections, the season that begins, and for guiding us in thinking about taking stock of ourselves. It was an important occasion yesterday for 4 of us who represented the congregation at a gathering, a regional gathering for Indiana-Michigan Mennonite Conference. Brent Aish and Eleanor Kreider and Francis Ringenberg and I were over at Kern Road yesterday. And the main focus in the conference for some time now has been to renew and reframe a vision for our life together as congregations connecting in this region and this community. And the document that comes from a lengthy process called Renewing a Vision is something that we'll need to spend some time with somehow in the congregation between now and June, because it is
the agreement for our life together with these friendly and fellowshipping congregations stretched from here to some distance away, upper Michigan and all the way down to Kentucky and Tennessee. We're a shrinking number of congregations. We're an aging set of people. We feel sort of small, like Pastor Francis mentioned in the sermon this morning, but this is a way of connecting and leveraging our lives together in a way that multiplies the impact. We have sometimes closer and sometimes not so close connections to congregations, a new group seeking connections with us right here in Elkhart also has a pastor hunt, and it's called Dawning of a New Day. I think it's Pastor Robert Hunt leads a small congregation that is eagerly seeking connections with Indiana-Michigan Mennonite Conference. And so life goes on. We've had some losses, we've had some shrinkage, but it is important to keep forging these ties together and moving forward.
I'm Dave Miller. Last week I spoke about the grand jury proceedings that were to take place and did take place in this week. And most of you know that the finding coming out of that was that there were no charges brought against the police officers involved in the shooting of Norman Gary. The reports that came out of that left as much unanswered as they answered. And the leaders of the Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance are continuing to seek a persistent witness to discern more deeply, saying, what are the things that make for peace in our community that include truth-telling and transparency so that trust might be built? And I simply invite our prayers for them. There may be concrete ways we can be joining in that, and I'll be glad to share some updates from that. You're mentioning Pastor Robert Hunt. Robert is a significant leader in that group, and we have become close friends over the last several years. There is a wise and courageous and patient leadership, but persistent leadership that is being offered, that I think, as I've been praying this week about this, the words that have often echoed in my mind was that the reconciliation of Joseph and his brothers was that, you know, you intended this for evil, but God is using it for good, and that that might somehow be the fruit of what is taken place and what is taking place. But I invite us first to be in prayer and then seek ways of standing with and supporting that end.
Good morning, Connie Caiceros. I'd like to welcome my guest, James Taylor, and his niece, Serenity.
Hallelujah to Dios.
Also, I'd like to ask for you to pray for my father. He's going into a nursing home, and he's only 64 because he has dementia and addictions issues that he can't control that make his dementia worse. And on a happy note, I was here 2 weeks ago, I think, for a training with CCJ, and a woman, a Latina Spanish-speaking woman, came in, and they're organizing locally a group of undocumented immigrants to help support themselves in sanctuary, and they needed a space, and so they're now meeting regularly at CCJ. But they came here because St. Vincent sent them here because the pastor's wife is Puerto Rican. That's what St. Vincent's told them. So, but if anyone would like to be more significantly connected, they welcome support and help. They're trying to get the city to actually support Sanctuary City. So please let me know, and I'll connect you directly with the group of people if you'd like to be more involved with them. Thank you.
Welcome to each of you.
Stand up? Okay. I was just going to sit, but I'll stand. My name is James Taylor, and like Connie, I'm dealing with some illness issues with my mother, who is 66 and should no longer be living with herself, but does not want to leave her house. So that puts me in a precarious position to try to give care to her and my niece, Serenity, who's with me this morning. Also, please pray for me and my strength in the Lord as I wrestle through some of these struggles, and I've not been responding the best as I should be and turning to other things and ways to ease my pain as opposed to turning to the Lord. So, just pray for me in this season, and I make prudent and wise decisions and that I listen to the Lord and not just self-medicate. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Pastor Carolyn, and I wanted to tell you about a really awesome thing that Prairie Street people were involved in on Friday night. There was a Know Your Rights information session at the Roosevelt Center, sponsored by the Heartland Alliance. That's the agency that Mara Weaver works for, and La Casa. And it was a bilingual presentation, but especially geared towards Spanish-speaking people to help people know their rights. Like, what do you have to do if someone comes to your door with a certain kind of warrant, or what do you not have to do? When can you remain silent? When is it safer to comply with certain things? And I talked with Mara's coworkers. They said how it was hard to advertise because they were a little wary of attracting people who might harass immigrants, who might harass those who are undocumented. But there was a really good turnout Friday night, and both families, like for whom this is a personal thing, and also allies who wanted to learn. And I brought home some information about that in English and Spanish. I brought it back to the office. So if you want to get that info to share with someone or have, I can give that to you. I want to say a special thank you to Heidi Aish, and Brent came, and Chet Mitchell came, and we helped serve pizza and hung out with the kids. And Alan Bernhardt also came and helped that night. And I thank you because I was really calling people at the last minute. And there was a lot of turnout from probably six or eight different Mennonite churches that everybody sent, you know, a few people and a few things. And it was a beautiful thing to see.
Thank you. We have the privilege of bringing our whole lives to God, including our financial resources. And at this time, the ushers will be passing the plates in the pews as we worship with our gifts back to God.
We'll sing together from Green, sing the Journey Book, number 31, and Ellen will lead us.
Did he come? He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. Alleluia. Why did he come?
He came down that we may have peace.
Let us pray. Jesus, you call us to fidelity in your Father's mission in the world. You went into the wilderness before you began your ministry. When we encounter wilderness this week, may we see it not as punishment, but as preparation. Jesus, you came down that we may have life in full. We pray for those in need of healing and receiving medical treatment, especially from Morris Smith. We pray for Connie's father and for James Taylor's mother. We pray for those among us undergoing chemotherapy and treatment, for little Ashley, for Tacy, for Alan. Bear them up with your spirit when they are in pain, and bring them, Jesus, to wholeness in your heart. Jesus, you came down that we might have peace. And we give you thanks that peace was not disturbed by violence in our city after the grand jury verdict in the Norman Gary case. We give you thanks for progress toward peace, for those learning their rights as immigrants, for those organizing sanctuary. Lord, we pray for those in places that do not yet have peace, for those in the wilderness of refugee camps, for those who are crossing borders in danger. We pray for those who will receive the MCC hygiene kits, that they will know that we sent these in your name, Jesus, and that we sent them with love. Jesus, you came down that we may have joy. We pray for those who are experiencing sorrow and wilderness that they did not choose. And we ask you, Jesus, to bring them joy. We pray for those who grieve, for the family of Scott's friend who died, for Rob's family and friends. Jesus, help us know how we can share joy with Kevin this week. And we pray for Josh's student in prison. We pray for him that you will speak to his heart and that you will send good companions to him. Jesus, you came to call sinners. You came to bring life. Hear our prayers now as we pray with the words you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Line 65 in the blue song folder. Jesus was in the desert. He was tested. He was faithful. James shared with us his request to be faithful, his prayer to be faithful. we go from here knowing that the Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, is in us, helping us to be faithful. So let's now sing about and claim that promise of Jesus' Spirit dwelling in us. 965.